Please and stay standing. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 3 through 11. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 3. You join me on verse 4, and we'll alternate through the passage that way. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And let's pray. Father, once again, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we need you. Lord, our world is so messed up. The farther we get away from your book and farther we get away from the truth, the worse it gets. So God, I pray that you just help us to listen to your word today. Help us to take it at face value and help us to hide it in our hearts and live it practically, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Philippians 2 is a statement that I want to use today as a launching pad for the sermon. Verse number 7 says, but he made himself of no reputation. No reputation. People today are so focused on how others view them. We are so concerned about how we look to other people. We spend untold billions of dollars on beauty aids, clothing, status toys, cars, houses, etc., just to look important. We've got all the new phones, we've got the new watches, we've got the new tablets, we've got all the new toys to build a reputation. We want to appear or look a certain way for our reputation. While in Bible college, I learned a great truth about life. I learned a lot of different things while in Bible college, but there was probably a truth that transformed my life more than any other. I was working hard. I was working a full-time job, taking a full load of college. I was involved in ministry. I was working with teenagers, and I was working as hard as I could. And at times, I was trying to, for lack of better terminology, try to build a name for myself. But I found out the harder I tried to build a name for myself, the worse it got. I learned to forget building a name for myself. I was going to work hard and live right for God, do all I could to serve God, and help as many people as I possibly could, and not worry about how others viewed me. Boy, when I learned that, life really opened up. I learned to quit trying to live for my name and started doing all I could for God. It was at that point that my reputation actually began taking shape. You see, the more I did not worry about me, the more I gained a good reputation. What I could not do while trying to do it for myself, I did do by forgetting myself, trying to help someone else. I realize there are others who are much greater than I. I know that. I'm not the most well-known person in the world. I am by far not the greatest preacher or the greatest pastor in the world, but I believe this. I believe I've worked hard and I have a good name. I'm not saying that out of arrogance. I say that out of illustration. I am not perfect, but I work hard. I work hard. You can challenge me in many ways, but there's nobody going to point a finger in my face and say, you're lazy. Because I'll work you under the carpet while you're sleeping. I'm up, and while you're snoozing and slobbering on your pillow, I'm still working. You see, I'm working as hard as I can to help as many people as I can. Our church has a little, I don't know if the right word is motto or saying or whatever you want to call it. This church is not a museum where we put people on display. It's a hospital where people come and get help. Well, I hate to tell you, hospitals are open 24/7. Guess what? I'm the only doctor on call. And I'm good with it. I enjoy it. Now, I realize that many, many, many people are greater than I, but I've learned not to worry about me and help others get what they need. We live in a society of people who look more at reputation than they do character. Let me say that again. We live in a generation who looks more at their reputation than they do their character. How do I look to everybody else versus what am I really? It's not about appearance. It's about what you are. You see, we have a society that looks at Facebook status or Twitter following as success. Garbage. Garbage. You live in a successful world that's made up of fake people in a cyber society amongst people you do not even know and call yourself successful? Everybody doing all right? You could get a presidential candidate. I'd say our president, but I'm not sure he could even draw flies anymore. But you can get a politician to gather a crowd. And he can speak once and have maybe thousands of people there. You have him speak in the same room every week, four times a week, and find out who's left after a year. Matter of fact, find out who's left after a week. It's not the popularity of the person. It's not the reputation of the person. We have people in our society who are trying to climb the ladder of success, and they don't care who they step on the way up. May I say this? If you have to step on somebody to go up, you're going down. You're not going up. Stepping on someone to rise in position is not rising in position. You see, we think popularity, fame, or social status is success. I'm not detracting from anybody's success, but succeeding by selfish motives is not really success. I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm in my own shy, timid little way going to say this. All right, you ready? Jesus had more success than anyone in history. Matter of fact, you take all of the successes of everyone in history combined, and Jesus has more success than everyone combined. Jesus is God. I didn't say was God. He is God. He could have come to earth as a dictator. Jesus could have come to earth and said, you don't agree with me, I'm going to stomp you out. Well, it wasn't a jihad. It wasn't wasn't Allah's way. God's way was he would come and let people follow him who wanted to follow him. When people are demanded to follow, guess what? They're not followers. Jesus didn't say, Bob, you have to follow me or I'm going to kill you. No, he said, just follow me. I'm going somewhere. You want to follow me? Great. Just follow me. God did not come down and dictate that everybody do what he say. And by the way, if people only follow you because they have to follow you, you are not a leader. That's right. Now, he could have simply stamped out those who opposed him. But he did not. He had an earthly reputation that has endured over 2,000 years of history. It was anticipated for 4,000 years. And by the way, how did he do it? How would you like to have a reputation that lasts for over 2,000 years? Two millenniums. Not two centuries, not 2 minutes, not 2 months, not 2 years, not 2 decades, 2,000 years. Today, I want to take the Bible and I want to take the life of Jesus Christ and show you how to build a good reputation by not trying to build a reputation. See, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 7, speaking of Jesus, but made himself of no reputation. I'm going to make a statement here. Everybody look at me. Not everybody liked Jesus. I'm almost ashamed to say this, but even today, people don't like Jesus. Matter of fact, our government hates God. Our society hates God. You have the right to say anything you want as long as you're not a Christian. Boy, you start talking Christianity and people start getting upset. Well, you shouldn't push that down my throat. You don't have to push it down your throat. You don't want to hear it? I'll go knock on the next door. Doesn't bother me. Why is it everybody has religious freedom but Christians? Why is it that you can take the Quran door to door and everybody's good with it, or the Book of Mormon, or any other publication, and it's okay, but you take the old King James Bible door to door and people get upset? Man, it doesn't bother me. I jumped out of my truck the other day, go in and get a cup of coffee at Sheetz. I am so used to having my Bible with me. Brother Gus, I didn't even remember I had it with me. I jumped out of my vehicle, had my Bible, walked in, got halfway in, thought, I got my Bible in my hand. Oh, well, I just kept on walking. I put it down beside me, got my coffee, and somebody said, is that a Bible? I said, yeah, and the guy went. Brother Michael went, I took a shower just a little while ago. It's okay, I promise. It's amazing how that book offends so many people. Well, I'm here to tell you, not everybody liked Jesus. Not everybody today likes Jesus. The devil hates him. The devil's doing all he can to destroy him. But guess what? Through all of the attacks of two millenniums plus, Jesus still reigns. Wow. How did he do it? So many of us are so concerned about our reputation. And I'm going to show you how to build a reputation by having no reputation. Point number one. And it's very simple. The outline is in your Bible. By the way, you'll find out at this church, almost all of your outlines are in the Bible. It's not my words, it's God's words. Paul did not write the book of Philippians. God wrote it before there ever was a world. God used Paul to pen it down, but it wasn't Paul's words. It wasn't Paul's thoughts. Paul was a secretary and took it word for word. Here we go. Look at verse number 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Point number one to building a reputation, Jesus humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself. Humans are way too full of pride. Human beings and mankind is so full of himself. We think because we have a position that we have arrived. Well, I graduated from such and such college. So? And I'm not endorsing anybody with this statement, but there's a Republican candidate, Scott Walker, who's come under scrutiny. He quit college about a semester or so before he got his degree, and he started working for a major corporation, picked up a huge position, and started working in the work world, and became very successful. And all of these Democrats that are starting to criticize, well, he didn't finish college. How fit would he be for the presidency? Well, look what we've got in the White House right now, and he graduated. Bill Clinton graduated, supposedly. What good did that do us? I've met a lot of smart people that don't have any sense. I know a lot of people that have more degrees than they have temperature. Just because you can pass a test does not mean you have any sense in your head. I've met people that didn't hardly graduate from high school. If they did graduate from high school, it's got more sense than what sits in the White House today. I better stop right there. Yeah, buddy. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. I will. We think because our bank account reaches a certain level that we have the ability to be snobbish. We work so hard to have a certain amount of money or a certain size home or drive a certain style of vehicle. Watch this now. We are so stinking full of pride. I don't care if you drove a brand new vehicle or pushed your car here this morning. God doesn't care. You know, inside you there is no wallet. There is no bank account for your soul. I'm just being honest with you. This one's going to probably get me in trouble, but that's okay. Man is so impressed with his knowledge. We live in such a humanistic philosophy that it's even permeated the quote-unquote Christian world. Everybody is so enraptured with their intelligence. Folks, America is so smart, they're stupid. Best thing we could do is take Al Gore and bury him under Antarctica. He's already that cold, it won't matter. He'll float like a popsicle. Folks, we are so smart, we're stupid. Well, there was a big bang. Millions and millions and millions of years ago. Big, giant, cataclysmic bang. And all of the energy emitted from that. And from that, all the stars and all of the worlds were created. And there was one certain part of it that had millions and millions and millions of particles that started spinning in a certain formation. And after millions of years, it slowed down, though it hasn't slowed down anymore since. And after millions of years, it cooled down. And only on one of those little specks of pieces of stuff, there was water. And after millions and millions of more years, in that water, a single cell organism, which they can't tell you where it came from, got lonely. So it divided itself. And it had two. And they had so much fun with two, they divided again and had four. And it kept going till eventually all these little single cell organisms swimming around decided they ought to come together. So they did and made a fish. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? Then that fish got tired of swimming all the time. So he poked his head out of the water and said, there's land there. I'd wonder what's up there, but I don't have any legs. So after millions more years, it grew legs so they could walk up there to find out what was there. Then that thing decided, this tail hanging behind me isn't doing me any good. I'm walking around. It's hindering how I stand up. I'm hurting my back. I got to lose my tail. So after millions of more years, that tail fell off. Now it teaches in public universities. That's how ridiculous evolution is. Folks, we are so impressed with ourselves. We are so full of humanism, our knowledge. We think because our family lives a certain lifestyle that we have attained something. Help us. We've reached a certain social status. There are certain members of the community that respect us, so we have arrived. Gag. Do you know what the word humble means? Very interesting. The word humble means earth, dirt. To humble means you realize that you're made out of the same dirt everybody else is made out of. It doesn't mean an attitude of, oh, I can't do anything. Oh, woe is me, I'm just humble. No, it means you're common, like dirt. Can I tell you something? Somebody the other day said, oh, preacher, you ought to try to become president. I said, I wouldn't step down to be president of the United States of America. Pastoring a New Testament local church is more important than any political position anywhere. What I'm doing lasts forever. It is the highest calling to man. I would not step down to go to politics. Can I tell you something? Jesus found out. And by the way, I want you to notice something. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the formation of a servant and was made. Guess what man was made of? Dirt. Dirt. That's why when you die and they bury your ugly carcass or pretty carcass, whichever it may be, they put you in the ground, your body returns to dirt. Say why? Because that's all you're made out of. Wednesday night I taught on the earth being cursed and everything else with faith. My secretary decided to be cute and she said, huh, back in the Garden of Eden, you really could rub dirt on it and you'd be okay because there was no germs. Can I tell you something? We're all sinners. We are all sinners. This preacher stands before you as a human being who is as guilty of sin as you are. I am not perfect. I wished I could tell you I was. I'm not. I don't try to be. Now, I'm not living in immorality. I'm not living in anything like that. But I'm as guilty as being a sinner as you are. And I can prove it. I'm dying. So are you. We're all sinners. But may I say this? None of us are any better than anybody else. By the way, let me just pull up and park. That's why at this church, if somebody in our church makes a mistake, we're not going to call them up on the platform after they come back and say, you tell everybody all the bad things you did, Brother Mike. That's wicked as hell. Well, that's church discipline. No, that's stupidity, and that's somebody having to spread gossip about themselves. Right. Number one, you're not God. You can't forgive them anyway. Right. Number two, when are you coming up after them? You going to tell us all that you did? Jesus said, let him with no sin cast the first stone. Everybody doing all right? Boy, I'm having fun. See, pride inflates man's self and blinds him from reality. Did you know that the more inflated with pride you become, the less reality you see?
That's right. Yes, sir.
The devil in Isaiah chapter 14 was blinded by pride. When Lucifer was in heaven, he led an overthrow trying to take over heaven. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. And he decided that he was going to play God and be God and overtake God. Guess what? His pride caused him not to see reality. By the way, that's how he got man to sin in the Garden of Eden. He said, wouldn't you like to be as gods, knowing good and evil? Wouldn't you like to be like God and be able to understand right and wrong for yourself? You don't need God. You could be your own God. And since that time, every human being has tried to play God in their own life. Men need to realize, even in the home, you need your wife. Fellas, you need your wife. Ladies, hang on. I'm going to help you here. Don't holler amen. You can just wave your hanky or do that. But I want every man's attention for a moment. You're not right all the time. Your wife tells you all the time, right, Ron? No. Mrs. Brining is not a fan. She's back there. Fellas, guess what? Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong. In dealing with our kids as they were growing up, there were times I was wrong. My wife, fortunately, we talked about this long ago. She'd let me make the mistake. And then we'd get aside, away from the children. She'd say, honey, I don't think that was the right way we should do this. Ugh. My wife does not yell. My daughter will tell you, when my wife yells, she gets quieter. The intensity level raises, and those beautiful blue eyes start flaming orange. Matter of fact, they flame blue. Blue flame is far more hot. You know when you're on the wrong side of them puppies, let me tell you. But she doesn't raise her voice. There were times she'd look at me and she'd say, I don't think we should have done it that way. All three of my children will tell you, their dad has come to them and said, I'm sorry. I did not handle that right. You know, it wouldn't hurt you to apologize when you're wrong. Wouldn't hurt you to apologize to your wife when you're wrong. Say, well, I've never been wrong, so I don't have to. That proves you are. That proves you are. Pride causes you to see no wrong with yourself. But you expect everybody else to be right in line with you. Brother Mike, do you know that I don't expect everybody to see life my way? I really don't. I have certain ethics that I follow. If a person comes, visits our church from another local fundamental Baptist church in the area, I don't even send them a letter of thank you for coming to our church. I don't visit them. I don't. If they mark on their card that they're interested in joining our church, I call their pastor and say, so-and-so visited my church at this time. I'm throwing their card away. Thought you ought to know. I will not contact them. I think that's right. I don't go visiting somebody else's church members. I just don't do it. Say why? I think that's ethically right. I only have one friend in the area that does that with me. But I don't expect anybody else to do it. That's just the ethics I've chosen to live by. I don't counsel somebody else's church members. I don't call somebody else's church members to ask me or to help me with projects unless I have their pastor's permission before I ask them. I called a local pastor not long ago. I said, one of my former members is going to your church. They're friends of ours. I said, they've helped me in the past with a certain project, and I need you to tell me no if it's a bad thing for you or your church. He said, Brother Bush, wow, no, you've got my permission. Matter of fact, it's good for that person to be able to do that. He said, I can't believe you're doing this. I said, why? This is the way I act all the time. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? By the way, I don't expect that person to live this way. I'm not expecting somebody else to see life my way. I'm going to make a statement here. Pride is us having everything the way I want it. Yes, sir. I want it this way. I want it this way. Did you know life has many roads to get you to the same destination? You know, I used to teach a high school geography class. The first project I used to have them do is, I need you to give me three different maps of how to get from your house to school. Most of them only knew one way, and they had to investigate to find two others. Did you know all of them could figure out at least three ways to get there? There's always more than one way. One may be the shortest, but there's always another way. Everybody doing all right? May I say this? In life, your way is not the only way. There's only one person that has the right to say that, and that's God. Jesus looked at us and said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is only one way to heaven. I'm going to make a statement here. Your wife is the deputy in the home, fellas. You need to trust her and back her. You know, there were times when my wife would tear into one of my boys. And I'd say, listen to her. Listen to her. You say, what if you didn't agree with her? They didn't find that out. She and I'd get alone later and say, maybe next time we ought to do this. They never knew that. Not one time. Say why? She's the deputy. And when I'm not there, she got to put up with them. Guess what? She had to put up with a lot more than I did because I wasn't as home as much as she was. By the way, according to and we're not going to take time to turn there because I got too much left to preach and I got to get you out because hope's hungry. According to 2 Chronicles 33:12, affliction will break pride if you do not break it on your own. Did you know that God will allow affliction to break your pride? Okay, don't get mad at me. Did you know some of you gray hairs? Let me rephrase that. Some of us gray hairs. As we get older, affliction starts inhibiting our pride. We don't want to admit that we can't do what we used to do. Been tearing out our kitchen and putting new tile and moving islands and new cabinet countertops and backsplash down in my kitchen. Don't come by my house, Mrs. Brining. My kitchen is in my living room. My kitchen is in my spare bedroom. My kitchen is everywhere right now. We haven't sat down to eat a meal in our kitchen in well over a week. You say, why? Because there's no place you could go in there and sit down and do it. I mean, it's a mess. Now listen to this. It's humbling. We were packing boxes with stuff and the living room's piled high. My daughter says, Daddy, what if somebody comes by? She said, well, they're just going to have to accept the fact they're not coming in the house. And I promise you not, 30 seconds later, the doorbell rang. And I looked down and there stands Mrs. Brining. Of all people. My wife said, oh no. She said, oh, I'm not coming in. We've been there. Don't worry. It's okay. So if you come over, there's no place to sit down. Okay. Now, wait a minute. I say all that to say this. My dad's helping me do it. Man, I had a whole truckload of cement board the other day. Told my dad, you get in there, go upstairs in the kitchen, do whatever. He said, oh, let me help you. I said, you're not picking up that stupid cement board. Good night. You're 76 years old next month. You have no business carrying 3x5 sheets of half-inch cement board. That's my job. He said, it's okay. I said, now, boys and girls, you don't do this till you're my age. But I looked at my dad and said, shut up and get up there. And he looked at me. I said, I'm not kidding. Get up there. I said, you're not touching it. Could he do it? Yeah, but he's going to pay a price a lot longer than I had to pay the price for doing it. And he's already paid the price. My turn. Say, what is that? From here up, he's still 30. But once you get below them eyelids, he ain't 30 no more. Well, listen to me. As you get older, you don't want to admit you can't hear. You know, they make hearing aids for a reason. You don't want to admit you need a cane or a walker. You don't want to admit you can't go like you used to go. I'm talking about physical stamina at that moment. I saw some pretty funny faces looking at me when I said that, and I won't tell you who. You know, sometimes God sends affliction to humble you. Sometimes it's financial affliction. Some of you are going to, America has spent on credit so long we won't admit to ourselves we're bankrupt. You can't live on a credit card. Eventually, you got to pay the bill. Well, I have a certain lifestyle I want to portray. I don't care how much of a lifestyle you want to portray. Eventually, you're going to be portraying it in jail. There are some people that want to appear spiritual, but they're not. They have all the terminology, but they don't do what they're supposed to do to be spiritual. And God will send affliction to you to break you, to humble you. Jesus left heaven and became just like you and me. He did it without sin. Jesus had a right to lift himself up, but he chose not to. You know that Jesus is the only one that lived and never sinned? He had a right to go around and say, look how good I am. But he didn't. He had people falsely accuse him. He didn't even say a word. They took him to trial, found him guilty, and he answered not a word. We'll get into that one next week. He chose to leave heaven and be homeless. Why? He left being served to become a servant. Why? To humble himself. To humble himself. Number two. So number one, Jesus became humbled. Number two, Jesus became obedient. Look at that verse again, verse number 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. I want you to notice something here. Pride causes people to think that they're above the rules. Teenagers, boys and girls, listen to me. You want to be like Jesus? You want to build a good reputation? Follow the rules. Well, I have reached a level. I don't have to follow the rules. Go to Washington, D.C. and look at a whole city full of people and a whole Congress full of people that live that way, and we wonder why we have so much corruption. Can I tell you something? You become a greater person by being able to follow the rules, not go around the rules. Pride causes people to go around the rules. Pride causes people in position to do things they would have never done because now they feel they deserve it since they've reached a certain position. That is filthy, vile garbage. Anybody understand that? Did I make it plain enough? The higher you go up in any position, the more obedient you should become, not the more disobedient. Guess what? Jesus said, those that are going to be the greatest should be servant of all, not be served. Jesus did not come to let everybody serve him. For the Son of Man has come not but to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to be served of man. He came to serve man. Jesus did not sin. He followed every rule. Obedience is the pathway to breaking pride. Did you hear that? Obedience is the pathway to break pride. let me go from preaching to meddling. That means you ought to obey the speed limits. Some of you are so proud you can get away with speeding. Guess what? One day it'll catch up. Man, it's getting quiet in here. It went from amen to oh me, amen. Serving, not being served, deflates pride. Serving deflates pride, not being served. Did you know that being served can cause your pride to inflate? Mamas and daddies, you need to teach your children to serve. And you'll teach them to serve by them watching you serve other people. By the way, sometimes that means serving your children, but I'm going to make a statement here. We live in a generation that believes that children should be served. No, they need to learn to serve. They need to learn to serve, not be served.
Well, everything's about the child.
No, you learn to become an adult by learning to be an adult, not by learning to be a child. My daughter finished all of her high school things. She's done. Praise the Lord. I told her when she finished her work, she could get her first cell phone. She's almost 18 years old. She just got her first cell phone. Guess what? She lived through it. She doesn't have email. Well, she does now. She didn't. And she lived through it. 10-year-olds don't need cell phones. I'm sorry. I've been around. I'm too old-fashioned. Way too old-fashioned. Say, when could she get a cell phone? After she graduated and when she can pay the bill herself. I'm not paying her stupid bill. You're not? No, she's not mature enough to pay the bill. She doesn't need a phone. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Expecting people to serve you causes pride to inflate. You take these preachers that expect their church members to start giving them everything. This idiot pastor got upset. His plane didn't, he needed a new plane, so he's trying to raise $65 million for a new plane from his people and his followers so he can have a new plane. Say, what is that? That's somebody who wants to be served, not somebody that's serving. That's not the guy you call when you're in the hospital sick. Just call me. I'll come see you. Let me know. Amen, Brother Bob? Right, Miss Sally? I'm even going to show up sometimes when you don't want me to. And we won't go into any of those stories. You know, I'm going to make a statement here. Too many people want God to serve them, like a genie in a bottle, instead of them serving God. Some people are mad at God because God didn't give you what you wanted. He's God. You're not. God doesn't have to give you everything you want. Guess what? My children didn't get everything they wanted when they wanted it because sometimes it wasn't good for them. When they got up in the morning and wanted candy, they didn't get it. They got breakfast. Say why? Because it wasn't good for them to have candy at breakfast. Everybody doing all right? Well, you were such a bad dad. Yeah, I'm a bad dad, but I got three children that love me. So, Jesus humbled himself. Secondly, Jesus became obedient. And lastly, this is my favorite part. I'm ready to shout. You ready? Look at verse number 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Everybody look at me. You humble yourself. You become obedient. How do you become a person of no reputation? You let God build your reputation. You quit worrying about your reputation. You humble yourself. You become obedient. You help as many people as you can and let God build your reputation. Jesus did not come to build a name for himself. He let God do it. You know, we need to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks and start doing what God said to do. Well, I know what I don't care what you know about another church. Guess what? We're doing what God said in his book. We'll let God build it. Well, what about, I'm not in for all these cutesy little programs and everything else. We ought to take the book of Acts, it's a good enough book, and build the church God's way. We don't need, we need to let God do the name building while we work and obey. Watch this. Life becomes lonely, contentious, and unfulfilled when you're only worried about yourself. Well, I'm worried if I die, nobody's going to know me. Well, quit worrying about what you're doing. Go out and obey God and let him build your name. And I'm not being mean to anybody, but I'm going to show you something. Jesus wasn't worried about his reputation. If he wasn't worried about it, look about what his reputation became. By the way, not everybody likes or liked him. You're not going to have everybody in the world like you if you're doing right. Matter of fact, the higher you climb and the more right you do, more bullets come in your way. You see, when you're in a battle, the highest point of the battle, that's the target. When we were in World War II, the Japanese instructed their soldiers to fire at anybody that had brass buttons. Anybody that's got a medal on, start firing. Take the leadership down. You see, the more you live for your self-reputation, the more you live in a world of one. Did you ever meet somebody, their whole world was about them? Me, 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 I, me, I. Good night, what a small world. You could truly sing the Disney song, yeah, it's a small world after all. I have no idea where that came from. You know, when you only see life through your eyes, it becomes very lonely. We have a generation, and I'll include my generation. We live in a selfish world. How does this affect me? Well, I don't want to do that if I have to. Ooh, wait a minute. My mom and dad are becoming more mature in age. Did I say that nice enough? The time has come for son to take care of mom and dad, not mom and dad take care of son. What are you going to do? I'll take care of them. I told my wife's folks, day you need help, you can move in. Say why? It's our responsibility to take care of them. They took care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves. It's not time for mommy and daddy to serve me, time for me to serve them. It doesn't mean they can't help every once in a while, especially when the kitchen's done. Now, wait a minute. We have taught several generations of young people that everything is about them. They expect to be served. We've given out welfare. We've given out college money. We've given out everything that they have, and they expect everything to be given to them. And when it comes time to earn something, and somebody has to get a little hard on them, oh, I'll just change jobs because they don't like me. This is workplace cruelty. Good night. I was 17 years old. I was a line cook at Mr. Steak Restaurant. My mom and dad came in to eat one night while I was working. The owner of the company was there. No lie. And I'm not talking about the manager. I'm talking about the owner. He came out and he would fellowship at table to table. He was a good businessman. Came to my dad's table. He said, my son's back there working. He said, which one? He told him. He said, oh, good. My dad looked at the owner of the company and said, if he's ever not doing what he's supposed to do, just slap him upside the head or call me and I'll do it. He said, if he ever gets lazy, you call me. I'll make sure that he's got a foot in his backside where he won't be lazy again. That's what my dad told my boss. Well, didn't that warp your psyche? He didn't call it a psyche, but it got warped a few times. Guess what? I don't have a time clock. Guess what? For all intents and purposes, I'm my own boss. About 11:30 last night, before I closed my eyes, Brother Mike, I said, God, would you get me up at 4:30 tomorrow morning? I got a lot to get done. There's a lot of people that are hurting, and I got to do a little bit of extra work. My eyes opened at 4:29 this morning. Got out of my bed. I've been at the church since a little after 5:15 this morning. Brother Jimbo came in the other day. He said, "Preacher, you are here early." He said, "I come by at 6 o'clock. You're here." I said, "Been here." Say, why? "I don't have a time clock to punch." "No, but I've got a God to serve. I've got people to serve. I have people that have needs. I've got to do what I can to help as many as I can along the way. There's new people to reach. There's new doors to knock. There's more folks that have more heartache and more burden. There's more confused people out there. Guess what? We've got to take the truth to them." I'll finish with this. Going to heaven has to be God's way, not man's way. Going to heaven has to be God's way. Look how many of man's ways there are. Which one's right? Well, I'll tell you this. Take what that book says and forget about what any man says or any church says. It's that simple. "Well, I'm just so confused. I've been taught this and I've been taught that." Well, let's take what the Bible says. You see, going to heaven is not the way you think, it's the way God thinks. Too much religion is selfish based and not Bible based. Jesus was not worried about his reputation. He lived his life and let God build his reputation. And 2,000 years later, Jesus still has the best reputation of anyone in history. My friend, we're all sinners. We've all chosen to sin. And because we're all sinners, we all deserve hell. Proof we're all sinners, we're all going to die. But something inside of you called your soul has to go forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. Say, why? Why would a loving God send anybody to hell? He didn't. See, the price of hell was put there by the devil and his angels. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And when man sinned, he committed the same sin that the devil created, and God's justice required the same punishment. Can I tell you how much God loves you? He sent Jesus Christ to die for you and me. He did not send him to die for the devil. God loves you more than he loved the angels and Lucifer himself. Jesus paid your sin debt for you. You don't get there by joining this church. You don't get there by being baptized in the baptistry. You don't get there by being a good person. It's not your good outweighing the bad. Can I tell you something? You don't have enough good to outweigh the bad. Because you're a sinner. You get there by trusting what Jesus Christ did to get you there. At that moment, you become born again on your way to heaven. Oh, it doesn't mean you become perfect. Doesn't mean you become sinless. It does mean your sin record's cared for. And that's how you get to heaven. It's not your way. It's God's way. Hey, how about your life? How humble are you? Hey, how obedient are you? You want to build a good reputation? Why don't we follow God's plan? You humble yourself. Watch this. You humble yourself. You become obedient, and then you let God do the building from there. Quit worrying about your reputation. Why don't we just start being humble and start being obedient? Let God do the rest. By the way, a lot of religious people today will go through religious exercises. It's Palm Sunday. And they will go through religious exercises and they're changing the flags on their church from purple to red or whatever and doing all these wonderful things. Watch this. And people die and go to hell because of it. They're trying to do it their way. Let's do it God's way. Humble yourself, admit you're a sinner, become obedient to the gospel, do what it says, and let God build your reputation for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not lie to you. I'll not lie to God. I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm just not really sure. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call your name, not call you out." But you'd raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure." Would you raise your hand? God bless you and you. Is there somebody else? All right.
two or three hands. In a moment, we'll stand. But before we do, who would say, preacher, there's part of that sermon that, man, I needed that today. That the Holy Spirit used that to whack me right square between the eyes, and I needed that today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put your hands down. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. As the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand, said you weren't sure you're going to heaven, if you'll just step out in the aisle and step down. If you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible. A lady or a young lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible. A matter of two or three minutes, you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Many of you ought to use this altar today. Oh, I couldn't go up there. Somebody might think I'm a sinner. Too late. We already know you are. Go ahead and humble yourself. Use this altar like you should.